are your other budgetary ambitions you have for the group this coming year? And how do you propose to accomplish those goals?
We have a number of budgetary issues, but first I'd like to preface that by saying that I think our board, and certainly me at the helm of the organization, our focus is to be as conservative as possible with the administration of the office. Therefore, we would have more monies to put back out into the community and into marketing efforts. So I wanted to preface that by saying that I'm very resourceful by nature. To that end, we do want to build up the amount of funds that are available to individual artists and also to arts organizations. And we're talking about two different pots of money, some of which comes through the North Carolina Arts Council. We, as you know, occupy a very small space right across the street from this facility and have already outgrown it. So we will probably be looking to expand to other sites, and that doesn't mean that we go out and sign a large lease for something. It might mean that we, you know, have an office within an institution that's already up and running. So we're looking for innovative ways to better serve the community. Our top budgetary considerations are, of course, salary. The budget that we came up for the first year for the Arts Council was $155,000. So that includes salary, benefits, office space, printing, legal, all of the things that it takes to run a business. And the Arts Council will be no different than any other business, for-profit or non-profit, for that matter.
Well, when you lose jobs in the community and you lose companies in the community and you're a nonprofit made up of those people that have jobs and companies, you lose money too. So we certainly had our budget constraints that we're working on. That said, though, we undertook this past year a specific fundraising effort for our Cape Fear Future initiative, which is designed to attract and grow knowledge workers in this community. We'll end up probably around $700,750 after we've taken fundraising costs out. So we'll have a pot of money over the next 5 years to support the Entrepreneurship Center. We're working very closely with the school board and the new superintendent, although I guess he's not new anymore. Saw a very, very large lack of focus on STEM, especially in the middle school area, science, technology, engineering, math. So we've found some curriculum that the school board would like us to provide, so it looks like we'll be able to do that. And then that thing of attracting knowledge workers, you've got to have a vibrant downtown. I'm sorry, I'm going to be political. We lost a big opportunity, I think, with the ballpark to start restructuring our downtown. But we'll have some money to put into downtown riverfront development somehow as we go along and work with the city and Wilmington downtown.
Ask me the question again, please.
What are your budgetary ambitions for your organization? How do you propose to accomplish those budgetary ambitions?
Well, we got a lot of work to do. It's going to be a tight budget. We're starting the year off in a significant debt to the federal government for unemployment insurance.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem. And then as we go into a tax modernization, we need to be very careful how we do that. So I do not know the answers, but I do know that the goal is to reduce the cost on our businesses and our citizens. But you got to balance that with appropriating and helping the folks that need it. Big challenges. We've got some huge Medicaid challenges, some huge health care challenges. I think it's going to be a bigger challenge than we've ever had this year.
Well, I thought he was going to have my solution. Public higher education is in a in a situation where we have to really examine every part of the business model. One of the things that is emerging this year is a new strategic plan for the UNC system, which is built as a business case, primarily with the legislature and the citizens as the receiver of that case. But we've reset our budget expectations after some pretty severe cuts, and we're looking at efficiencies. This university is one of the most efficient universities in the system, and we'll continue to look at that. We're looking at the revenue, of course. We have ways to build revenue, to be more efficient with the way we use our facilities, and so we're going to continue to do that. But one of the things that's most interesting to me, and I think where I'm very excited, is that it's pretty clear to me that while University of North Carolina Wilmington will be and continue to be an excellent university, it will not be that university operating in the same way it's operated before. So we have set up on campus a University Innovation Council whose only job is to question the way we do our work. And they have free rein to question anything from my office down. And they have started to come forward now with some very, very innovative ideas about rethinking some things that we used to think were sacrosanct or traditional ways of doing our work that we believe in ultimately can do things like make the process of getting a degree more efficient, make us do it with less redundancy and so forth. And the UNC strategic plan helps with this because the themes are basically the same. I will say that this has been well received, and we've gotten a lot of really good ideas, and there are some ideas coming forward that we believe will really help us. But we are in a and we have to do this in a low tuition environment. That's pretty clear. Our total increased cost this year came in under the consumer price index at 2.4% for the total amount of extra money, and we're going to have to expect that in the future. So it's a time for higher education to invent its future, and we're doing that by taking a look at every one of our analytics, our budget processes, and our efficiencies and our revenues. We're also going to be, of course, be very active in philanthropy. So as the evening ends, I'll be standing at the door back there and talking to all of you as you go about a major gift.
It's interesting, kind of going up, talking after thinking about the university and then looking at co-works. It's kind of a different thing, but we're I'm kind of wearing two hats. The co-works is something that I started because I started my own business and I needed a place to work, and quickly realized that there were a lot of other people in the same boat as I am. So, this is all relatively new, and I guess as far as a question to with a budgetary ambitions, I think is what it was. I think really we've kind of created this infrastructure that we have a couple locations, one near Wrightsville Beach, one at Barclay Commons, and then we've had some discussions about coming downtown. I want to look at how we can leverage what we've built through partnerships with university and others to see how, especially, we can get the younger generation in there. I've been in discussions with the NC State University Emerging Issues Center, and they did a survey among college kids coming out of school. Unsolicited, one of the things they asked for that they were interested in having is more collaborative co-working spaces. So I think, we're fortunate to kind of have something started here. And I think if there's a way that we can help generate more awareness, especially among the younger folks in town, I think we'll be on to something.
My organization, CHEC, it's a little bit different than yours. It's a 501c3 foundation-based not-for-profit. Give you a little bit of background on what we do to kind of answer the question. We are, I think, recognized by your publication, the book of lists that came out recently, as the third largest physician practice in town. And we provided about $4 million worth of uncompensated care last year. And that's part of what happens when you're a teaching program. And we received no financial support for that, state, federal dollars, none of that. We also provide continuing education programs in our community to about 5,000 healthcare professionals, and that's physicians, nurses, allied health, dental folks. Also put together networks of physicians who are precepting physicians who teach medical students and residents. We have about 1,100 of those come through our community. We facilitate that. We also, through a federal grant program, go out and promote health careers to underrepresented and disadvantaged students in every single K-12 school in our five-county area. Also, through a federal grant, We help physicians select an electronic medical record, install it, achieve meaningful use, and we've helped about 300 physicians do that. So we're very diverse in the services we provide, diverse again in our funding. And so our challenge really for this year is to find ways to expand those valuable and hopefully the profitable programs.
And Connie, let me start off with you.